You're listening to BVRN, the Black Vault Radio Network. From the bizarre world of the paranormal to the sinister secrets of the U.S. government, the Black Vault has become known worldwide as the premier spot for anything and everything conspiracy. Now, join me, John Greenwald Jr., as we dive into the research together in hopes to decipher these mysteries. This is the Black Vault Radio. That's right, this is the Black Vault Radio Network. I'm your host, John Greenwald Jr., and so excited to let you guys know that finally an expansion to BVRN, the Black Vault Radio Network, which you guys always hear me talk about here on the Black Vault Radio, not to be confused, they are two separate entities. Black Vault Radio, the show you're listening to. Black Vault Radio Network is the network that carries the show. And of course, Black Vault Radio is syndicated in a couple of different areas, so I do welcome all the different listeners that are tuning in to the Black Vault Radio. But I wanted to let you know that for years now, I have wanted to expand the Black Vault Radio network to include not only Black Vault Radio, but other shows as well, and to syndicate different UFO talk shows, paranormal talk shows, even political talk shows, and expand to something where anybody could come online and on demand listen to UFOs, paranormal research, any type of show related to the genre. I wanted an on-demand radio network for anybody to tune in. Well, glad to say that finally that has happened. If you log on to www.blackvaultradio.com, you will have the archive to not only this show, this is episode number 38, so 38 hours worth of the Black Vault Radio, but also hundreds of hours of different radio shows, which includes Live from Roswell with Guy Malone, Binal of America with Tim Binal. That's actually a pretty big archive. The entire season 3 is available. That's about 60 hours by itself. Season 2 and season 1 are coming online in the next week or so, so make sure you stay tuned for that. And my guest on this episode of the Black Vault Radio is one of the first hosts that appeared on BVRN, Karen Dolan, host of Through the Keyhole. That's broadcast on the Paranormal Radio Network. You can visit them online and listen to her live every Friday night at paranormalradionetwork.org. And I'm bringing Karen on because I want to publicize a little bit her show, which is now syndicated on blackvaultradio.com and BVRN. And I wanted you all to know about this resource. There's actually, other than the Black Vault Radio, a few other shows to listen to, which I just mentioned. But also, there's a lot more that are actually scheduled to come online within the next week. So I'm very excited about this resource. Please tune in, because this is something that you don't want to miss. The reason why it took so long, and many of the longtime listeners here of the Black Vault Radio will know that sometimes there was a long time span between shows. And I was embarrassed always because I would think that I got into the technical ability to do this, but there were so many listeners, which is a great problem to have, that was absolutely draining my server, my dedicated web server for blackvault.com or theblackvault.com. And I was like, oh, if I keep doing this, the listeners are just getting too grand, so I would have to limit the shows. And then I came down to once a month, and I said, this isn't right. I was receiving your letters, and so with the gracious support of people like you, sound like PBS, but and KCET, but through the gracious support of different donations that came in, I was able to purchase another server. That's why you're seeing and hearing more Black Vault Radio episodes come online, and I finally was able to complete an expansion, or just the first stage of the expansion of the Black Vault Radio Network. Make sure you check it out, blackvaultradio.com. Lots of shows, hundreds of hours, actually, of programming available, but do it in about 45 minutes or so, because this episode you don't want to miss. Through the Keyhole host, Karen Dolan, coming right up. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the Black Vault Radio. I have a very special guest joining me here on BVRN, host of Through the Keyhole, Karen Dolan. Karen, thank you so much for joining me.
Well, thanks so much for asking me, John. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
Absolutely. And I kind of wanted to do this interview for a couple of different reasons. As many of the listeners here know, BlackVaultRadio.com and BVRN has expanded to include many different shows, one of which, in fact, Karen, you're the first that came online to Black Vault Radio after the expansion. And you wrote me back very, very quickly. You're very supportive. I appreciate that. And you agreed to the syndication of your show Through the Keyhole. Let me ask you, tell me a little bit about your background, and then tell me about Through the Keyhole. What exactly is it?
Well, the funny thing is that I actually have no background at all in radio. I kind of
Nobody does. Don't worry about it.
Okay. Well, you know, I hear about people who went to broadcasting school or majored in journalism in college, that kind of thing, and I never did any of that. How I got started. I actually got my start in radio after an invitation from Guy Malone to be on his show, Live from Roswell. And he had asked Rich, my husband, for anybody who doesn't know, my husband Rich Dolan, author of UFOs in the National Security State, Guy had already arranged with Rich that he was going to do an interview on Live from Roswell with him. And then after the show started, Guy called me up and he said, hey, why don't you come on and you can talk about what it's like living with someone who does UFO research and writes the books and everything. And my first thought was, what are you, crazy? Nobody's going to want to hear what I have to say. But he talked me into it. I came on the show. Guy and I are friends. He said, come on, we'll just chat. It'll be really fun. So I did, and we had fantastic ratings.
That's great.
So, a couple weeks later, he said, well, you know what? I have to go and do a conference, and I can't run the show that day. You want to come on and take it for me, guest host? And I'm thinking, no, because I don't want to ruin your show.
Well, you must have
again,
done it.
He talked me into doing it.
Yeah.
And I was interviewing Lisa Davis, who is another friend of both of ours. So I thought, well, okay, it's somebody I know, and so we'll just get on the phone and have a nice conversation and try not to think about how many thousands of people are going to be listening in on this. That went really well, too. We also had really good ratings for that show. So after that, Joe Montaldo, who's the producer of Live from Roswell, got in touch with me and said, I have another time slot on the Paranormal Radio Network. He said, you should take it.
Wow.
And again, I kind of hemmed and hawed, but, eventually got talked into it and started this show. And I started by interviewing ufologists, people I had met through Rich. And it went really great. It was so much fun. I had no idea how much fun it was going to be.
Well, it definitely is a lot of fun. Now, let me ask you and back you up a little bit. Do you have an interest in this? We obviously know Rich does. He's been a guest here on BVRN. He's one of the past shows that you can download. What about your interest? I mean, were you just kind of drug into this, or do you have a background in UFOs or any part of the paranormal?
Not in UFOs at all. I was never, ever interested in UFOs until Rich got started. In fact, when he first told me that he was writing a book about UFOs, my thought was, oh, okay, well, have fun with that. I thought, well, great, that's a really cool project. I'm glad you're doing it since you're interested in it. I was not into it at all. But as he was doing the book, he started talking about things he was coming across in his research, and I kind of got gripped, too. Just the fact that something's being covered up really pulled me in. It made me start thinking, well, why? Why are some people acting like, oh, it's nothing, it's nothing? Government agencies particularly will say, oh, there's nothing to it. We don't investigate UFOs. There's no such thing as UFOs. Don't be silly. But at the same time, any material they have related to UFOs is classified as top secret or higher.
That's what I always found fascinating, by the way, not to interrupt you, but that's exactly my thought, is that how is it that it's easier to get documents on nuclear weapon secrets and chemical weapons? I mean, I got documents on way too many things that I even want to talk about, and it always seems that UFOs is the toughest one, and even more heavily classified than almost any other topic out there. Excuse
me.
And for those who don't know, Rich Dolan talks about this government secrecy as well. So let me ask you, Karen, Do you believe in that cover-up? Do you believe that the government is definitely covering up what?
I think they're definitely covering up something. I mean, I think there's plenty of evidence that there is a cover-up. There are a million theories as to what's being covered up.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many, many people who research this. In fact, Rich has quite a lot more information than I do. Many people have better ideas than I do about what is being covered.
Oh, you don't give yourself enough credit.
Well, I can have theories.
See, nobody knows
the research that he has.
Well, but see, you can actually do a decade worth, I think I'm going on 12 years, and we don't have the answers. You know,
yeah.
I think everybody's opinion is absolutely valid because we really just don't know the answer. And I think that's what the fascination behind this whole topic is. And on Through the Keyhole, I've noticed that you've kind of branched out from just interviewing those ufologists that you were talking about. So what?
Yeah, I'm interested in more than UFOs. In fact, when Rich and I met, I didn't know at the time that he was already interested in UFOs. He'd already read Whitley Strieber's book, Communion,
mm-hmm.
which I'd never heard of at that point. But I have always been interested all my life in the paranormal. I've always felt that there's more to reality than most of us believe.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we grow up being told there's no such thing as ghosts, there's no such thing as ESP. Yeah, there is such a thing as telekinesis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is such a thing as remote viewing, which is the same as ESP, and they did prove that anybody can be trained to do it. Yeah, some people are better at it than others,
mm-hmm.
even with training. Some people can do it naturally without training. You know, some people can read really easily, too. It's the same kind of thing. It's a learned skill.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel that you have anything inside of you?
Do I have that ability?
Any kind of ability.
Well, I believe that everybody has the possibility of it. I don't think that I'm this amazing psychic or anything. I've had people tell me I am, and to be honest, it makes me feel like they're trying to put one over on me because I don't think I am.
Because I'll swear my mom does. I mean, she can, like, come out with things. She knows exactly if something's wrong, but it's not even just with me. I mean, she knows, like, if something's wrong in the cosmos, so to speak. And especially with the animals. My goodness, she's so in tune with our animals. And I don't live at home anymore, obviously. I'm on my own. But over there all the time, I was raised with animals. And the short of it is that she always knew when something was wrong. And having lots of animals, unfortunately, you deal with lots of accidents and lots of unfortunate deaths and so on. And whenever something happened to one of the cats, she just knew. So I swear she's got that power. It's something bizarre. I mean, I usually don't look into it. I don't read into it or research it. But I think my mom has it.
I think a lot of people do. And I think, you know, that raises a question as to, is this what we would call extrasensory perception, or is it someone who pays attention?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that everyone has this ability, but you have to pay attention to it. Most of us grow up being told
you
to ignore that little voice inside us.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lucky few who are told to pay attention to it.
Right.
I mean, I'm that way with our cats, too. I'm exactly the same. And in fact, I had a cat who died a year or so ago. He was 13 years old, and we'd had him since he was tiny, tiny kitten. If you go, the picture of me on MySpace is with him.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, Crash.
Was it the black cat, if memory serves me well?
I'm sorry?
Was it a black cat, if memory serves me well? Okay.
Yep. My big black cat. He was enormous, too. And I used to joke and call him my familiar. But I've seen him around several times after he died. You know, like, I'll just be walking around the house, and I'll see out of the corner of my eye. I feel something brush my leg, and I glance down and see just a black shape go by, and I'm thinking, oh, okay. And then I get in the next room and think, wait a second, what is that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was him.
Wow.
I mean, I have another black cat, but this other one, like, I'll walk into a room, and the other one's asleep in here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, who was that that just walked past me the other way?
Yeah, I'm a firm believer that animals definitely stay with you. Now, let me ask you to expand on something. When you said you joked around that he was your familiar, what do you mean by that?
Oh, well, if people came over, I'd say, oh, and this is Crash, he's my familiar, you know, and this is our other cat.
But what exactly does a familiar mean? Because I think I know what it means, but I'm not really sure.
Okay. Well, if you read the old stories about witches, who were also supposed to be very psychic. I mean, one of the things that people who study, who follow Wicca nowadays, and I do, one of the things about the Wiccan religion is that they believe that everyone has this latent psychic ability,
mm-hmm.
or that everyone has the ability to be trained or to develop their intuition. In the old stories about witches, they would often have what was called a familiar spirit who would act sort of like a servant, sort of like a companion. And it was, in the witch trials, they said it was an evil spirit or a demon that took the form of an animal and would run errands for the witch or that sort of thing.
Interesting.
And they were often black cats. I mean, you know, the traditional picture of a witch with her black cat.
Mm-hmm.
So since I am a Wiccan and I had this big black cat, I just always kidded around that he was my familiar.
My mom followed it for a very long time always had this connection with black cats and so on. So that's why I wanted you to elaborate on that a little bit. Mm-hmm. And just a few days ago, she called me and she told me about a cat that wandered into her front yard, a wild, a feral cat, wandered in, black from top to bottom, and laid down under the wheelbarrow and had a litter of kittens. So now and it's only my mom. I mean, she draws these animals in. We've had all sorts of animals be born, not only at our house that we had as pets, but she had, for example, they got a horse. That horse spit out another one. They had no idea she was pregnant. We've had litters of kittens. I've delivered a litter of dog, which was actually quite an amazing experience. The dog would not let me leave, so that's always a fun story to tell. But I had to sit there for hours and hand deliver these little baby Rottweilers, which was quite an experience. But anyway, my mom just is a draw for this. Doves have wandered in, created a nest at almost ground level at my parents' house, and little babies were hatched. I mean, it's just been an absolutely insane ride.
Animals obviously feel drawn to her and feel safe around her.
Yeah, I can't figure it out.
You know?
I understand why. I mean, she's a sweetheart, but they are just completely drawn to her. And when I told my neighbor, we just recently had a wedding from my neighbor that I got to attend, and when I told his daughter, who's somebody I grew up with, and I told her about it, and she starts laughing and shaking her head. She goes, "Oh my God, only your mom. Only your mom. That would happen only to your mom," and which is true. I mean, of all the houses on the block, of course that cat picks that one. So can't figure it out at all. So let me.
Animals have such amazing senses compared to what we do, and a lot of it's been scientifically proven. I mean, dogs have this amazing sense of smell because they have many, many more sensory nerves in their noses than we do.
Right.
I mean, they have like hundreds of thousands of times more sensory cells than we do. So, yeah, I mean, there have been studies done where dogs can actually smell tissue samples and they can identify cancer cells.
Wow.
Long before any of our mechanical equipment can do it.
Now, that's interesting. I've never heard of that.
I read an article about that in Reader's Digest, so this is not some weird paranormal thing. And this was years ago. There was a story, I can't recall the doctor's name, but he was training dogs, starting with his pet dog.
Interesting.
And he discovered that his dog could tell, and so he would bring home biopsy samples and lay them down in front of his dog, and his dog would find the ones that had cancer cells in them. And he discovered that all dogs, once they're taught what to look for, are able to diagnose cancer.
Absolutely.
Long before any of our equipment can do it.
It's absolutely fascinating. I am a firm believer that animals have more senses than we realize. You're listening to the Black Vault Radio. My guest, Karen Dolan, she'll be back right after this, so stay tuned. Welcome back to the Black Vault Radio. I am your host, John Greenwald Jr., my guest, Karen Dolan. Karen, we had absolutely no game plan for our interview, and we found our way talking about animals. And let me ask you about this, because it's always a fun thing to talk about, although I don't know your views on it. One of the biggest debates that I ever got in high school, I went to a Catholic high school, and I hope I'm not going to upset any listeners with this one, but went to a Catholic high school, and one big thing that they talked about in one of the classes was about animals and whether or not animals have souls. And I stood up, you know, I mean, I don't think anybody in the class really cared at that point, not because they didn't care about religion, but it wasn't really a big point to anybody. But it was huge to me because they said, nope, they don't have souls. They're pretty much just mindless bottles of flesh walking around, and they mean nothing. So that really sent me for a loop, and I debated and debated and debated. I actually got yelled at this school, and pretty much not told to shut up, but pretty much told to shut up because I was just drilling this thing into the ground. I would not let it go. I was raised with animals. You look into one of the animals' eyes, and if you believe in souls, animals absolutely have it. Just curious, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think definitely animals do have souls. And I have to say that although I am a Wiccan now, I was brought up as a Roman Catholic. And that's part of the reason I'm not anymore.
Mm-hmm.
yeah, I've come across that before. And honestly, I just think the only way you can believe that's true, and I hope I don't offend anybody either, but honestly, I believe the only way you can believe in such a thing that animals have no souls is if you're not paying attention.
Yes.
Anybody who lives with animals, who sees them on any kind of regular basis, couldn't possibly believe that.
Yeah, the other thing that really struck me, and I brought this up, and I mean, this is going on, God, my 10-year reunion is coming up, and I'm feeling old and scared about it, but regardless, when I was in this class, I remember it like it was yesterday, because I brought up, I said, well, what if, you know, there's certain people in this world that that's all they have, you know, they only have a cat or they only have their dog, and that's what really keeps them going. I mean, mm-hmm. when you go to a hospital, you know, a lot of time, you know, on a Sunday or so, a Sunday afternoon, you'll see that they'll take animals on rounds throughout, mm-hmm. you know, throughout the hospital, because obviously people enjoy seeing animals, and that's what they have. That's what brings them smiles. How is
exactly.
it that...
Exactly, and that wouldn't work if they were bringing those toy mechanical animals in, you know? It's,
exactly.
Those things really are soulless. My daughter had one of those for a while, and I hated it. Why don't you turn that thing off and go play with the real cat?
Right. See, that, but that's the thing, is like, how can you deny somebody that? I mean, if again, just in the Catholic faith, you know, you believe in the higher power, and you believe that God created everybody on earth. How is it that you're going to deny them when they go to heaven that the one thing that made them happy on earth was an animal? And they had no answer for that.
Yeah, to me, it wouldn't be heaven if I don't get to see my cats when I'm there.
Exactly, exactly. Now, let me ask you, we can get into Wicca. Do you mind getting into Wicca?
Not at all.
I find it fascinating. I mean, so does a body have a soul in Wicca? I mean, do you believe, what's kind of the viewpoint in Wicca versus...
Oh, well, yeah, definitely there's a soul. I mean, a lot of Wiccans, not all Wiccans believe the same things.
Okay.
First of all, I should say that. It's a very, very old religion, and it's branched off into a lot of different traditions. It's sort of organic.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those... The one thing that I think all the groups probably have in common is an acceptance of all the different variations. And that's one of the things that really, I want to say, attracted me to it. But at the same time, there's something that people say is you don't become a Wiccan, you discover the word that's what you've always been.
Interesting.
People kind of say, oh, that's what it is. And
so,
it just feels right.
So when did you discover that for yourself?
Oh, God, I was little, long before I was in
really?
Any position to leave the Catholic Church.
And but raised Catholic, but just inside yeah. you always knew that you were into something else.
Yeah.
And we're just coming up on the bottom of the hour here on the Black Vault Radio. My guest, Karen Dolan, we're going from animals and animals have souls into Wicca. Real quick, sum up for me. What's the belief? What is the core belief to being a Wiccan? What does that mean?
That all life is sacred. not just whatever narrow group you happen to belong to or whatever narrow group you think is the most important.
Mm-hmm.
If it's alive, then it's sacred. If it's a tree, it's sacred.
I think you might convert
okay
me right
to
on the
hurt
air.
Anybody. No matter what you do, it is not okay to cause harm to somebody else. Sometimes it's unavoidable, and you have to do your best to make amends and to minimize the damage.
Wow.
Because that's life.
We're talking
but
with Karen.
You do your best.
We're talking with Karen Dolan here on the Black Vault Radio. Much more to come. Bottom of the hour already. It's flying by. Stay tuned. You're listening to BVRN, the Black Vault Radio Network. Welcome back to the Black Vault Radio. I am your host, John Greenwald Jr., my guest, very special guest, host of Through the Keyhole, now broadcast and syndicated, non-exclusively, of course, but you can hear it on blackvaultradio.com. Got about seven shows, I think, was the launch, Karen, of your show, Through the Keyhole, which is available right now, trying to get my hands on some of the other archives. I know you've done quite a few shows.
I know we've got quite a few more, but we'll get them up there soon.
Great, great. But there's many hours to listen to already, so check it out online through the keyhole, www.blackvaultradio.com. Just went through a major expansion and renovation. Talked about it a little bit earlier on the top of the show, but make sure you check that out and check Karen's show out. Now, Karen, you were talking a little bit about the core values of Wicca. I mean, that sounds very interesting, and even though I've got not the background in it, but just kind of the awareness a little bit through my mom, who studied it for a long time, it seems like there's a lot of preconceived notions about being a Wiccan that are out there in the world. Do you run into that now, or are people pretty accepting? I mean, people can be pretty brutal.
Well, I have run into a lot of it, yeah. And I stopped talking about it for years. I just kept my mouth shut.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought, well, I don't need to put it out there and just to get slapped down. Just recently, I've started talking about it again, but I've been spending more time at places like UFO conferences where there are people who are, they know what it's like to be outside the mainstream.
Right.
You know, to think about things and to believe in things that are not generally accepted. So they're a lot less likely to slap me down for it.
So you actually started lecturing, and I wanted to bring that up as well. I mean, you got into this topic, started your own radio show, got pulled into that, got convinced to do it, because I guess you were a little reluctant doing it.
Yes, it's kind of like falling into a river, you know? I don't know where I'm going to be a year from now.
You know what? This field will absolutely do that to you. I mean, same with me as well. I mean, you know, you go to a different conference or you meet different people, and then all of a sudden your research may take a different turn, or your life takes a different turn, and you know, you have no idea where you're going to be. But you started lecturing though. You're out there. Your name's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. I keep hearing about you. I'm seeing you interviewed on all these radio shows. So I'm glad to finally get you on mine as well, and even more happy to actually be holding your entire archive, well, soon to be your entire archive of your radio show. What is it that you lecture about now, going around? What is it that you talk about?
On UFOs, if you believe it. I mean, I'm still, it's so funny because that's the thing that I wasn't interested in, but I kind of got pulled into it.
Mm-hmm.
But when Rich was doing his research, when he was writing his book, that was about the time our kids were born, and so I was spending most of my time with toddlers and watching TV shows like Sesame Street and Teletubbies and all of this. At the same time,
educational series.
I was talking with Rich about his UFO research and reading his books,
mm-hmm.
and I started to notice that like Teletubbies look a lot like Grays. And I said to Rich, you know, did you ever notice this, or has anybody ever noticed this? And I'd mention it at conferences sometimes, and no one knew what I was talking about, because most of the people who go to the conferences and who are into UFOs and reading the books don't have little kids around.
Interesting.
I guess we're really unusual that way. So I kept saying, well, Rich, you should talk about this. And he was like, yeah, I have all these other things to do. And finally I said, fine, I'm going to talk about it. And in fact, it was Guy Malone again who got me started. When I was talking with him on Live from Roswell, I brought up that point and I said, you know, I really think somebody should give a presentation on this. And he said, well, I'm looking for speakers for the Roswell conference this summer. And that was for the 07, the, you know, 60th anniversary. And he said, you want to come and talk about it? So I thought, I've got to be out of my mind, because I am not a public speaking kind of person. I think it's really funny, too, that I have this radio show and I have, you know, 50,000 listeners every week at this point, because I'm incredibly shy. I have a really hard time getting up and talking to people. But I said, yeah, sure. You know, how many chances will I get to do something like that?
Right, right.
So yeah, I started digging around to see whether these images are intentional or not. And it turns out there actually was a CIA-funded government program to put images of aliens out to the public, you know, to try to control or influence the way the public sees UFOs and the whole concept of life from elsewhere.
Now elaborate on that project. I mean, what exactly, because this is kind of new to me. I've never heard of this before.
Yeah, I was really surprised when I came across it too, but there is actually mention in the Robertson Panel report, which came out in 1953,
mm-hmm.
which was funded by the CIA.
Mm-hmm.
They did this report on UFOs and information concerning UFOs and what is its effect on the public, and do we need to worry about this, and do we need to do something about it? One of the recommendations was that the information should be controlled, that it should be released to the public in a controlled way, and that perhaps they should work with companies like Walt Disney. They actually specifically mentioned Walt Disney as a possibility.
Wow.
To present the information in the way they wanted to, in order to control how the public perceives this whole concept that there is life elsewhere and that they're here.
That's interesting. Now, in your research, not to slightly change the topic, but going along the lines with Disney, was there a rumor that I heard that years ago Disney did a UFO special, as crazy as that sounds? I thought I remember reading that Disney had done a UFO special that got canned and kind of thrown in the drawer, so to speak, and never really got a lot of press.
I did come across a mention of something like that, and unfortunately I don't have a lot of the details either. I'm still sort of digging on that.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious. Anyway, not to sidetrack you, but when I heard Disney, it kind of brought up that show. I mean, if anybody's listening that knows more details on that or knows where to get it, I mean, I'm not crazy. I heard that Disney did this UFO special decades ago, and it just got buried.
For anyone who's interested in this topic, there's an excellent book, which a gentleman who heard me speak that first time in Roswell, his name is Peter Massaro. I just want to thank him profusely for pointing me toward this particular book, and in fact, he lent me his copy.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Hollywood Versus the Aliens by Bruce Rux, R-U-X. And the whole book is about this exact topic. It goes through the history of the government agencies that were concerned with UFOs,
mm-hmm.
and what they decided to do about it, and what they were thinking, you know, what questions were they asking themselves when they were deciding what to do about it and whether they needed to do anything. And it follows this whole, the Robertson panel being put together, and the CIA was looking into mind control at the same time that they were wondering whether they had to do anything about UFOs.
Mm-hmm.
And then it talks about the movies that were being made year by year by year, and which movie companies, which production companies were involved. And you can see the differences in the movies that were being put out by different organizations. And then as it goes on later and later, you get into children's cartoons started coming out in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And like the Hanna-Barbera cartoons, which you're probably too young to know that much about, but I watched them when I was a kid. And yeah, Hanna-Barbera was really deeply into this education program.
So,
I mean, they put out a lot of cartoons. Like the Scooby-Doo cartoons, they had a lot of paranormal and ufological themes. They had aliens, and they had ghosts, and they had vampires and all of this, but they always turned out to be some guy in a costume. So the perception was, you know, if you see something like this, it's probably a guy in a costume.
Right. Now let me ask you, do you think, because that's obviously going back a couple decades, now do you think that they're still doing this? I mean, your whole interest was sparked by seeing children's programming today, which, by the way, Teletubbies absolutely freak me out.
Yeah.
I mean, they give me nightmares.
Watch Boobah sometime if you think Teletubbies are bad.
No, I bet a few listeners are laughing at me right now, but no, I'm serious. Like, they really freak me out. I just can't watch them. When my cousin was growing up, my mom would babysit. I'd go over to visit them, and if they were watching Teletubbies, I'd just have to walk out of the room because they would just... That, I don't know. That just scares me. But anyway.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, I could put up with Teletubbies, but Boobah made me leave the room. So, yeah. John, I am not kidding. If you watch Boobah, the opening of every episode, that opening segment, starts off with a metallic orb flying across the sky.
Now, that's interesting.
Very, very shiny mm-hmm. silver orb, and it's trailing rainbows. And it moves really erratically. It arcs across the sky, but then it starts like zigzagging. Okay, classic UFO behavior.
No.
And it flies over all these groups of kids who look up and start yelling, Boobah, Boobah.
Now, this is part of the Teletubby program. Forgive me, I don't watch it.
Well, it's created by the same studio as Teletubbies. It was
I see. So it's a different show, though. Boo.
Right, it's a different TV show. It came out a few years later. And I thought it was for younger kids when I first saw it, but then I read an article about it, and it's actually designed for older children.
Interesting.
Go figure.
So a silver orb going across, I mean, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I show this clip in my presentation, and when you show this at a UFO conference, everybody sits back, and you see their jaws drop, and they're all going, oh my God, that's a UFO.
Wow. Now,
it amazes me.
No.
That it's so overt and so obvious.
What do you think they're preparing
the creatures,
for, though?
The Boobahs inside this orb, they're not skinny and gray with big round heads and big black eyes, but they're fat and they're bright colors,
mm-hmm.
but they have big round heads and big black eyes.
Wow.
And in fact, they start off, when you first see them, they're sleeping and their eyes snap open as they wake up, and you can hear a click when their eyes open. The first time I saw them do that, I found myself backed up against the wall. Like, oh my God, turn that off. We're not watching that.
Now that really is it's creepy in a way. I mean, joking mm-hmm. aside, it's just kind of creepy. Now, why do you think they're doing this? I mean, if there's some kind of hidden agenda, so to speak, in this programming, and they're putting these images out there, mm-hmm. I mean, are they prepping this next generation for some kind of disclosure? Or
isn't that what it seems like? I mean, I've tried to contact the people at Ragdoll Productions who make these shows,
mm-hmm.
and I have not gotten anybody answering me back yet. So I don't know what they're thinking. I've read interviews that other people have done with people at Ragdoll, and they have never, ever mentioned the fact that they look so much like UFOs and that they look so much like ETs.
Now, does it go beyond this?
Like, how could not even mention that in a whole interview?
Now, does it go beyond this, though? I mean, is this just a coincidence on one or two shows, or are you finding a theme?
Well, no, the images that I'm describing are on the opening segment. That's on every single episode.
Wow.
So I tell people at the talk, in fact, when I gave my presentation this last summer in Roswell, just this last July, we had some technical problems, and I wasn't able to show that clip. And I was telling people, just go to your library and get any DVD of Booba, because every library has like 10 DVDs mm-hmm. in the children's sections. Grab any one and put on any episode, and you'll see this at the beginning. Every single one of them starts with this same segment. They all have the UFO coming in, and they all have the boobas with their big black eyes snapping open.
Do you,
it is just bizarre.
Do you see this theme in other shows as well, other than the two that we're talking about here?
Well, you know, it's really hard for me right now because we don't have cable anymore. And we actually don't watch TV that much. We watch things on DVDs.
Well,
so right now I've got people telling me, people write and tell me about shows. People have told me about a cartoon called Space Ghost, which is also from, like the 50s and 60s. It's old, old thing. I never even saw that one when I was a kid. But that's classic. That's got this like 6-foot-tall grasshopper kind of thing. Or praying mantis, you know, which is, again, a classic alien image.
Now,
so
you think that there might be some preparation for some type of disclosure through programming?
That's what I'm wondering. You know, in such a vacuum where I'm trying to find out what these companies are thinking when they put this out there, but I haven't been able to get any actual answers from them or information about, you know, what were they thinking. So I'm just forced to fall back on my own logic here. Why would they do this? And the only thing I can think is they're trying to make these images familiar to kids. And what is the effect going to be of that? They're going to trust someone who looks like that.
Now, did you talk to your kids about it? I mean, it sounds like your family has a great interest in this, so I'm guessing the topic comes up at the dinner table.
We had a lot of thought went into deciding whether to have this discussion or whether to just turn off the TV, but then I thought, well, they can turn it back on. They could be seeing this stuff someplace else, and, you know, I still need to tell them. But then there's this question of how much do you want to tell them? I don't get into the whole question of the alien abductions with my kids.
Yeah,
because I don't think that's appropriate for children.
That paves the way for some nightmares here and there.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, despite the fact that Rich wrote this book on UFOs and we travel to UFO conferences and now we both speak on the subject, we still actually try not to talk about it too much at home. Hmm. You know, the kids know what we do, but neither of them has read Rich's book. It's a 500-page sort of textbook-type book. It's a bit much for, you know, a 10-year-old and a 12-year-old.
Well, a couple of years from now, I'm sure they'll find it
of
great interest. So let me expand on the disclosure question then a little bit with you, away from the prepping on a television program or kids programming, away from that, you think that there's going to be a disclosure happening anytime soon?
Boy, that's the $60,000 question.
It is.
Everybody asks this.
Yep.
And, you know, it's something I think about all the time.
We talk about it a lot here on Black Vault Radio. It seems like one of those common questions that just kind of comes up. But I'm always curious about what my guests here on the program think, and I kind of expressed that same question to you. I'm just kind of curious if you have any thoughts.
I think it is going to come out. I think the truth will out. Now, depending on what you mean by disclosure, do you mean the government's going to come out and fess up to everything? That I don't know.
Well, that's a great follow-up question, to be honest with you, because what is your definition of disclosure? See, mine, when I think about it, and this is something we actually rarely talk about here, so great question. You know, when I think of disclosure, I think that people want the government to come out and say, you know, people of America, people of the world, we know about UFOs. They're not just unidentified objects. We know what they are. And they're extraterrestrial in nature. We've known about it for a long time. We've covered it up. But here you go. We're coming clean. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how I perceive what disclosure is. I mean, others will argue, well, it's a spoon feeding process, you know, that they've got certain news articles or certain reports that come out, or every 5, 6, 7, 10 years, they'll come out with some kind of press statement, quote unquote, and they're kind of spoon feeding the public. So that's my definition. I'm not sure about you.
Well, see, the problem with that definition, when you look at it in that way, I don't see that happening, because the very next thing that's going to happen is the public is going to say, okay, if you're saying they're real, they're here, you've known about it, what about abductions? That means they're real too. Mm-hmm. They've really been happening, and you haven't been protecting us.
And that goes along the line with saying, and this is part of my belief, and again, I've talked about it here before, that if the government were to do this, it would be chaos. It would be chaotic.
Absolutely.
You know, because I don't think many religions would be able to handle it. I think there's a fear that so many cults like Heaven's Gate, I mean, who heard about Heaven's Gate? Well, maybe a couple people, I'm not real sure, but really, who heard about Heaven's Gate before they did what they did? Before they said, yeah, there's a UFO behind the comet Hale Bopp that's going to come and take us to paradise. And this whole cult just offs themselves. I mean, if the government or a government comes out with proof and says it's extraterrestrial in nature, you're absolutely right. People are going to say, oh my God, the abductions are real too. Oh my God, people are getting taken. Oh my God, people don't return. What if this happens to me? And you're going to have a War of the Worlds situation.
Absolutely. And you know what? There's in that book, Hollywood versus the Aliens, there's a strong case for Orson Welles having been in on this, that whole War of the Worlds thing may not have just been a Halloween show gone wrong, that it may actually have been
a test. Yeah. That's an interesting theory, which
such a thing got out.
Yeah. We're talking to Karen Dolan here on the Black Vault Radio. It's flying by way too fast, but there's still a few minutes left, so don't go away. BVRN. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Black Vault Radio. I am your host, John Greenwald Jr. My very special guest today, Karen Dolan, host of Through the Keyhole, now syndicated on Black Vault Radio, BVRN. So happy to have Karen not only on the program, but her show, part of the archive there, that anyone can download, blackvaultradio.com. Make sure you log on. You can download some of her past episodes. Karen, back to the thoughts that we were talking about, though, before we got up to the break.
We were talking about disclosure.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And the question of whether the government will come out and actually admit that they've been covering everything up for all these years. Even if that doesn't happen, I mean, I would see disclosure as just the truth coming out.
Mm-hmm.
People knowing and seeing incontrovertible evidence that, yes, there is life from elsewhere, and yes, they are here, and they are interacting with us. You know, that UFOs are real, that they are either interplanetary or interdimensional spacecraft. And in that case, I personally think that's not going to happen until whoever's piloting those craft wants it to happen.
You think
if they want it to happen and our government doesn't, I think it's still going to take place. I mean, I don't think really that our government has that kind of decision-making power.
Yeah, and I think that really, if people are interested in this, if people really want to know, they don't need the government to come out and come clean, so to speak. I mean, I don't think that's what it takes. You read books like Rich's book, UFOs in the National Security State, or you read books that talk about the evidence. That's really what you need. And I'm asked that $60 million question a lot when I lecture and so on. And I always say, as cheesy as it sounds, that disclosure really comes from within. It really doesn't have to take a world government or some kind of huge press conference. It really doesn't matter. If somebody cares about the topic, which I hope more and more people do as time goes on, but if people care about it, to just look into it. And that really is, that's the quote-unquote disclosure, you know, is
yeah,
really just becoming aware of it.
Yeah, I think a lot of individuals who have taken the time to look at the evidence and make their own decisions have already come around to believing that this is true.
Right.
Yes, there really is such a thing. But when you look at it, I mean, the government may be holding the secret, but these other beings, they are the secret. They are the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And if they want it to come out, it will.
Such an interesting topic. I mean, we could do a full show on that. Now, we only have about a minute and a half left. Karen, I wanted to ask you again, Through the Keyhole, you can download all the past episodes at blackvaultradio.com. Your website that I don't have written in front of me, so I'm going to throw it to you. How could people get in contact with you?
The website is www.keyholepublishing.com. And that's actually a site for Rich and me. On the main page, you'll see both of our work. There are links to his book and his articles, and there's also a link to a page that has all the information on my radio program. It's got the links to listen live. It's got links for the archives. Pretty soon it's going to have a link to your site, to the radio network site.
Great. And I should point out, you're broadcast live on Paranormal Radio Network. That is your main syndicator. They host the show, and paranormalradionetwork.org, I believe,
yes,
is the address. Make sure I have that right. That you can mm-hmm. listen to Through the Keyhole live. Karen, when can they do that?
I air live on Friday evenings from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Great. I want to make sure everybody has that. Tune in to Karen Dolan. If you missed the show, log on to paranormalradionetwork.org or blackvaultradio.com. Karen, it was an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much. Through the Keyhole.
Thank you so much for asking me, John. It was really great talking with you again. And we mentioned on the break that I think the last time you and I spoke was when you were on my show a year ago.
Yes. Yeah. Well, let's not make it that long again. Please keep in touch. I will have you on the program anytime you want. So thank you so much for joining me. And thank you for listening. Again, blackvaultradio.com. Listen to Karen's archives, paranormalradionetwork.org. Listen to her live on Friday nights. Thanks for listening.